Hi, welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. We're excited that you're joining us today. We have a fun and applicable topic. I say fun, kind of jesting, because definitely, do you got your seatbelts on? Because here it comes. This is a packed series of verses from 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. So I just want to preface today, if you're joining us today, to simply step away mentally from whatever you're engaged in today, and simply just give this podcast, it's going to be a quick one, only 20 minutes, your attention, and invite the Holy Spirit to show you what specific verse that we read can you recognize yourself in? Really just give the Holy Spirit permission to sift you. This isn't to throw any stones. This is just a simple moment of pulling away from the worldly trinkets to sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to prick your consciousness, to wake you up to certain behaviors that perhaps you've been dabbling in, that the Lord is calling you to surrender to His Lordship so that you can be free. Run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. So thank you for joining us today. Again, this is edgegodin.com podcast. Please visit us at edgegodin.com for Bible studies, lessons, and reflections to draw you into the heart of Christ using scriptures and prayer as well as teachings that you can apply, making the complex simple, applicable, and sustainable through the Holy Scriptures. So let's jump into this one. I'm going to jump in and start reading. I'm on with my co-host, Dr. Estella Chavez, all the way from the Netherlands. Welcome, sister.
Hello. Hi, everyone. This good is a good
one. Good topic, one, huh?
Yeah, and one people don't like to talk about. People
right.
People don't like to talk about judgment. Mm-hmm. And God's the only person that can judge. And at the end of the time, there's a summary of events that will take place, and this is some of the behavior that we're going to talk about that happens with toward that time.
So absolutely. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, you think? Lovers of money? Nah. Boastful? Never. Proud? Not me. Abusive? Disobedient to their parents? Ungrateful? Unholy? Without love? Unforgiving? Slanderous? Without self-control? Brutal? Not lovers of the good? Treacherous? Rash? Conceited? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Having a form of godliness yet denying its power? Have nothing to do with such people. Ah, when I read that, I think, well, then I better get away from myself sometimes. So there's a lot packed into these five verses here. Mark this, people will be, there will be terrible times in the last days. Again, reflect on the following scriptures. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Do you recognize yourself at all in any of those behaviors found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5? Yes. Again, this is simply to raise our high noticing, inviting the Holy Spirit in. Holy Spirit, we invite you in to crash our interior world. Wake us up to those behaviors that are literally a virus to our human operating system and our ability to make you recognizable in this world. We give you permission to sift us. As difficult as it is when you bring up those behavior patterns that are below the line, that are lights off, that do not make you recognizable, it hurts. We admit it. And we also give you permission to do it anyway, because we know that once we see it in our mental awareness, then we're empowered to invite your strength, your transformative presence to shift our behavior, to make you recognizable in our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions. You are welcome here, Holy Spirit, in this short, quick study of 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Give us wisdom into who we are, where we are at, where we are stuck, and where you desire for us to go. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, sister, what do you have to say all the way from the Netherlands on a couple of these verses?
Well, you know, there's a lot of series of events that are going to happen, as we know, when God comes back, you know, starting from the breaking of the seven seals, the rapture of the bride, the marriage of the Lamb, the blowing of the seven trumpets, and this emptying.
Just to mention
bowl.
A few. I mean, so true.
Right. And so there's a lot of things that are going to happen, and we are in preparation for that. And no one knows the time or the hour when the Son of Man comes back, but we do know there are signs to follow that tell us that. And these Timothy 3, 1 through 5, or 2 Timothy, shows us a lot of the things that are happening now that would give a Christian raising our awareness that we are in the last days. Mm. And when he talks in this about this attitude, this behavior of people, he's talking to the church, right? He's talking to, he's talking about, these are the behaviors I'm seeing at the church. I think in Revelation 3, 14, 18, it talks about, I know your works. You're neither hot nor cold. Wow. You know, that's kind of how we are, right? We're neither hot nor cold sometimes. And I'm not saying this with judgment. I am like that at times, you know, I want to be fired up for God all the time, but then stuff gets in my way to prevent me from being that way. And then what happens? I fall into these personalities and these behaviors, you know, worrying about money, you know, being too proud, you know, being ungrateful, unholy, you know. And I think we as Christians, we can't be ashamed of having this, but we have to acknowledge that we get into these molds if we don't stay fired up on God, you know. And this nature that's happening now, imagine these behaviors without God, and that's what we're seeing, right? We're seeing a lot of people who are not Christians that are indulging in these behaviors, and it's causing utter chaos in this world. You know, so I think it's very serious that we, you know, this without self-control, not loving, treacherous, reckless, lovers of pleasure versus lovers of God, you know. So I think this is the time for us to, even the revelation and talking about the end of time is hard for some people. It really is a joyous time for us as Christians. But we have to be aware of ourselves and check our behaviors so that we are in good judgment and we can and get as many people to the throne as possible.
Absolutely. I am individually looking at these different examples of specific behaviors. And I encourage those people who are listening in to us today or perhaps listening in at another time to truly pause in front of these scriptures, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I'm again reminded of the power of the Holy Scriptures as Jesus used them to rebuke the devil in the desert. With every onslaught of the devil, and this is another topic, but with every onslaught of the devil, Jesus responded with a scripture, rebuking and declaring truth. And so it's important first and foremost to recognize ourselves when we are below the line, when our lights are knocked out. And the ones for me personally that pop out for me when I see this is when you do have a craving or a love for something, you render yourself extremely vulnerable to an attachment. And an attachment is an emotional state of clinging due to the belief that without it, you cannot be happy. Mm. And you will rise and fall once you receive the attachment. It's quickly followed up with anxiety that you may lose that which you have become attached to. Money is a perfect example of that, and our relationship with money. The other one, flipping, and we're lightly cascading over these, but lovers of themselves, mm-hmm. that our joy diminishes with self-focus. As we shift to other focus, our joy increases. Mm-hmm. Our the depth that we're able to experience that sense of joy is when we forget ourselves. As Jesus said, you must die to yourself to find yourself. You want to save your life, lose it. This is a message throughout all of scriptures that really speaks to the simple statement of John the Baptist when he said, more of you, Lord, less of me. I must become less and you must become more. Yeah, it's surrendering our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions, our behaviors under the lordship of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Mm-hmm. You know, that reminds me of verse 5 when he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And so many of us have a sense of God. You know, we have this hot and cold nature toward God, but we don't really understand the full power that he has mm-hmm. within. And this power that he gives us enables us to overcome these things of the flesh. You know, this ungratefulness, this without love, this unforgivingness, this slanderous behavior. Knowing God and living with him and walking with him and staying in his word encourages us and inspires us and directs us and teaches us how to have a godly nature and use the power that he gives us to overcome these things. Hmm. And I think that's what's happening. I think that, you know, I remember a friend of mine said, well, when the devil knows now, he doesn't have to put sometimes that sin in front of you. All he has to do is give us the spirit of busyness.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we are. And I think also when I look at these things, I see children, the millennials sometimes, being raised without a sense of God, but a sense of spirituality, which is very different things. Mm-hmm. And I think that people don't want to hear about fire, stone, brimstone, you know, damnation. They don't want to hear about it.
Well, it's like what Paul says, I'll give you milk, but really we got to jump into the meat. And we're baby steps. No, we got to jump into like the real.
It's not a popular sermon, right?
Right.
Because people want to hear judgment and don't want to hear how their behavior should change. But we have to do that. We have mm-hmm. to be in awareness and constant renewal so that we can be ready when the Son of Man comes.
Absolutely. So for those of you who are going through this specific podcast, again, as you reflect on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, where do you see a commonality between what is spoken here and your behavior? What sparkles for you, basically, when you read through this? Perhaps it's being a lover of self. Perhaps it's the needing to be right, liked, and understood. Therefore, you will see the behaviors of one-upping people, stonewalling people, defensive behavior, or ugly talk. That all flows from loving self, focused on self, to the detriment of other people around you. Perhaps it is money. Perhaps it's a love of money, in a sense of an attachment that when something comes through that's attached to money, whether you get a deal, a promotion, you close a specific milestone, an accomplishment, that your joy soars, or your sense of happiness is fleeting, it comes and goes. Joy of the Lord is a consistent experience, and you will rise and fall depending on those activities that bring in money or don't bring in money. This is just for self-examination. Believe me, I'm totally guilty in all these areas so far. Boastful. Now watch for subtle boasting. You know, it's called one-upping. That when someone's sharing good news to you, so and perhaps it pushes your buttons. Remember, people that push your buttons reveal where you're stuck. And perhaps when someone in your field shares something of a accomplishment, then you feel threatened. Therefore, you'll find a subtle way to one up, For example, someone comes up to you and says, hey, I just got this promotion and I was working for it. And perhaps you were going for the same promotion, yet you didn't get that promotion, but you landed another deal. Then instantly that pops up on your radar and you're like, you figure out a way to weave it into the conversation. That's great. You got that promotion. I'm really psyched too, because I got this. And mm-hmm. right after this, if we're reading through it, are you boastful? Proud. Pride fuels boasting. It also fuels focus and love of self over others. And it leads to abusive, disobedient behavior and ungrateful and unholy countenance without love. It leads to an unforgiving nature. Self-love leads to being slanderous because you're out to protect yourself over the in spite of other people. You'll look out for your own interests instead of others. Lack of self-control is like the caboose of all of this, because without the self-control, the impulse control, which again continually shows up as being one of the number one traits of highly effective spirit-led leaders, the ability of impulse control. Impulse control can be applied to anything. Impulse control can be applied to social media, not responding to a post that triggers something inside of you. So rather than jumping on the stage of drama, you have impulse control to get off the stage, align yourself with the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit within you and God's presence in you, and shake off your need to cast yourself in other people's drama. And that leads to treacherous behavior, rash, conceited pleasures of the world versus being lovers of God and surrendering yourself under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I heard that. I was listening to a Billy Graham. I found this station that they're streaming in some of Billy Graham's older talks that he had given. And one of them was just extremely powerful on, are you willing to surrender everything, your behavior, your dreams, your desires, your facial expressions, your body language? I'm pulling that in because that's how God makes himself recognizable, is in our intonation, our facial language, our body language. 75% of communication flows through that, and we can make God recognizable or not. And are we willing to surrender all that we are under the Lordship of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Yeah, because I'll tell you what, that's what leads to the freedom. And it leads to the ability to overcome all of these just packed in 5 verses, all of these behaviors that kick us below the line.
That whole lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It just, you know, these things were boring. None of this is us. None of this stuff you can take with you.
Amen. And
treasure these things to be that we're never going to ever keep. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, even these emotions, you know, these emotions are things that may spark them, but they're gone so quickly. We need to let them go, and like more of good godliness come into our lives, and deny and realize that we have the power to overcome these things, because we fall into these things because we're searching. You know, everyone, yes, there's this love of money, but money, you know, you get a certain income, you want more. You get another income, you can keep this. More is never enough sometimes for people, because they're continually searching for, which is, that's not really making them happy. But the source of happiness comes from loving God and knowing his love for you, and knowing what he's going to give you, and knowing what's to come, you know, eternal peace to come. Oh my God, I just can't imagine it. You know, I had a situation one time where I dreamt that I was going to pass, and I kind of bargained with God. I said, God, you know, I'm not really ready right now. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you a few more years. And so he gave me a few more years, and the angels came back to take me. And I was like, I'm scared. And I remember stepping off into this most wonderful experience I've ever, this feeling came over me. I didn't want to wake up. It's almost like the squirrel in Ice Age that I went, don't back.
Exactly.
It was just such a wonderful experience. I'm like, we don't know the beauty that's going to come.
No yes. eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive what God has prepared for those who love him.
Yes.
It's beyond what, that's why that one song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. If you haven't seen that movie, I Can Only Imagine, it's the true story of the head singer of Mercy Me. Highly, highly recommend it. It's a story of triumph on how God brings the rose in the midst of the thorns. But there's a song, I Can Only Imagine, mm-hmm. about what it's like when we do enter heaven. But this is all part of the process because we're still in earth school. So as you reflect on 2 Timothy 3:1-5, look at this as an earth school class. Dear God, grant us the grace to pass the earth school classes that you put before us to refine character so that our colors are clear when you call us home, that we would be clearly, clearly under your lordship and not ours, that we would have lived out with our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions the truth that we are your ambassador and you are making and have made your appeal through our words, thoughts, deeds, and actions, facial expressions, body language, intonation, that you have all, that you have, we give you permission, Lord, to really override us when we are in these boastful, proud, lovers of self moments that lead to slanderous lack of self-control behavior. We give you permission to override us, God, where when we're in that below the line space, and have your way with us in spite of ourselves. Grant us the grace, more today than yesterday, to close the gap between our ability to hear and respond to your voice behind us, saying, don't touch that. Step away from that. Let that go. Forgive that person. Release that. Move closer. Lean in. Draw near. Grant us the grace, Father God, of surrender. And may we be moved and hungry and thirsty for you, for your word, for your truth, and knowing that you are the way, that we wouldn't compromise ourselves by being distracted by the shiny objects of popularity, position, power, or possessions. You are our Lord, and we surrender all that we are to you, God. Have your way with us. Thank you so much for this time that we've had today. And give us the strength of self-reflection to see the behaviors that are playing out, that are laid out in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. And we pray for victory over all of this, because you didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. Yes. So rise up, Lord. Rise up within us and grant us the grace to live a surrendered life and a victorious life in you. For we are nothing without you. And with you, all things become possible because you dwell in us and because you think of us today. We would cease to exist if you were to cease to think of us. Thank you that we are precious in your eyes. Bless everyone who's listening to this podcast today. Help them to remember how loved and cherished they are to you, that they are your precious possession. Thank you, Lord, for this time. In your most precious name we pray, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining us today, and please continue to explore the different podcasts that we have up and available for you to listen to at edgegodin.com. Any closing thoughts, sister?
I just, don't beat yourself up on this. Just take the time to bring awareness to these behaviors and then pray for God and shift that thought and toward change, toward more noticing, toward more of him, less of me.
Just throw yourself in Jesus' lap. Change me, Lord. Help me. Change me. Change me. Help me all day long. It's easy to be holy when you're lying in bed until you run into a human being.
Start at the morning. Get up and just say something to him. Just remember.
Open your day.
He loves you.
Amen to that. Enjoy your gift of life today, and we look forward to connecting with you guys again on the next Edge God In podcast. Enjoy your gift of life today. God's favor to you.